We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, text number 3. So let's remember, the art of Krishna consciousness is what? It's the art of focusing one's attention and giving one's love to Krishna. So first we have to focus our attention, or else we'll fall asleep. If we don't focus our attention on this class, we'll have to focus our attention on something else. And that will probably put us to sleep. And then we have to give our love. Not that, oh, I'm paying so much attention, I can't stand it, my brain is fizzling, and smoke is coming out of my ears. Is paying attention, oh, it's too much. Better go to sleep. I'm getting tired. No, we have to focus our attention. And then the whole subject matter is love. So we have to have at least a favorable attitude. Not that we're seeing here who's speaking. Does anyone know who's speaking? Do you know what book we're reading? let's get it one at a time. Which is the book that we're reading? Bhagavatam. Okay, we've narrowed it down. And what canto are we in?
Seventh.
And what's the chapter?
Seventh.
And who's and what is the name of the chapter?
What Prahlad
has learned in the womb. You're 3 days behind. Now you got to catch up. What Prahlad learned in the womb. And who's speaking? Who's Prahlad? And who's he speaking? Who is he speaking to?
To his schoolmate, demonic schoolmate.
Yes, schoolmate, his demonic schoolmate. And who's narrating this narration? To whom? And who's narrating this? Who's narrating the fact that... Yes, so Shukadeva Goswami. So we have to be there. First of all, we have to know what's going on. So we have to be there on the bank of the Ganges. And we have to be there with Pariksha Maharaj. We have to be one of those sages, or sages, depending on what you... We have to be one of those sages or sages, sitting there on the bank, listening to Pariksha Maharaj, listening to Shukadeva Goswami, speaking to Pariksha Maharaj. And what is he speaking? Now he's up to the fact that Yudhisthira Maharaj, or Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he's telling him about how Prahlad is speaking to his schoolmates, what he learned in the womb. If we don't get that, then we're missing something. And what did Prahlad say yesterday? What did Prahlad say yesterday? He said, Hare Krishna. Besides Hare Krishna, what did he say? What else did he say? What was he talking about yesterday? Yes? For a vacation. He got 200 euros and he took a... No. He went to which mountain? That's a really tough one. It's called Mandarachala. Mandarachala. Well, and what was he doing there? What's that? Austerities, yeah. And what else happened yesterday? Who went to who on the result of that? What happened after that? Haranyakashipu went to the mountains for austerities. What happened after that? Yes?
Demigods take advantage of Hiranyakashipu missing in the kingdom and try to overtake the demoniac kingdom.
Close, that's pretty good. And King Indra, headed by the demigods, started to attack, subdue all the demons in warfare. So there's a big fight going on. I mean, if you were actually there in the fight with the demigods and the demons, you couldn't forget it. You couldn't forget it. But, you know, we're kind of like, oh, yeah, right, sure. Another quaint mythology in the Bhagavad Gita. But we actually believe that we're actually there experiencing it. How could we forget it? Hiranyakashipu just left, and the demons, the demigods headed by Indra are now attacking all the demons, and there's a big war going on. Text 3. Well, this is an interesting word. What does it mean? Pipilikai. Pipilikai ahir eva. Disya loka patapana. Papena papo bakshiti. Vadanto vasavadaya. Pipilikai. By small ants. Ahi. A serpent. Eva. Like. Dishya. Thank heaven. Loka upatapanaha. Always oppressing everyone. Papena. By his own sinful activities. Papa. The sinful Hiranyakashipu. Abakshi. Has now been eaten. Iti, thus, Vedantaha, saying, Vasavaha, Avasava Adaya, the demigods headed by King Indra. Translation, alas, as a serpent is eaten by small ants, so the troublesome Hiranyakashipu, who always afflicted miseries upon all types of people, has now been defeated by the reactions of his own sinful activities. Saying this, the demigods headed by King Indra arranged to fight the demons. When the great leaders of the demons, who were being killed one after another, saw the unprecedented exertion of the demigods in fighting, they began to flee, scattering themselves in all directions. Simply to protect their lives, they hastily fled from their homes, wives, children, animals and household paraphernalia. Paying no heed to all these, the demons simply fled. The victorious demigods plundered the palace of Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, and destroyed everything within it. Thus Indra, king of heaven, arrested my mother, the queen. As she was being led away, crying in fear like a kukori captured by a vulture, the great sage Narada, who at that time had no engagement, appeared on the scene and saw her in that condition. Narada Muni said, O Indra, king of the demigods, this woman is certainly sinless. You should not drag her off in this merciless way. O greatly fortunate one, this chaste woman is the wife of another. You must immediately release her. King Indra said, in the womb of this woman, the wife of the demon Hiranyakashipu, is the seed of that great demon. Therefore, let her remain in our custody until her child is delivered, and then we shall release her. Purport. Indra, the king of heaven, decided to arrest Prahlad Maharaj's mother because he thought that another demon, another Hiranyakashipu, was within her womb. The best course, he thought, was to kill the child when the child was born, and then the woman could be released. Translation. Narada Muni replied, the child within this womb is faultless and sinless. Indeed, he is a great devotee, a powerful servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you will not be able to kill him. Prabhupada, there have been many instances in which demons or non-devotees have attempted to kill a devotee, but they have never been able to destroy a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord promises in the Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kontiya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashiti. This is a declaration by the Supreme Personality of Godhead about his devotee, that his devotee cannot be killed by demons. Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of the truth of this promise. Narada Muni told the King of Heaven, it would be impossible for you to kill the child, even though you are demigods, and certainly it would be impossible for others. So who can give an example of when Krishna protected the devotees when they were put into difficulty, almost killed? Ambarish Maharaj, who's going to kill him? Devasa Muni. And what happened to Devasa Muni? Yes. Burning him for a year. What's that? Ultimately he had to surrender to Ambarish Maharaj. What's another example? What's an example of a devotee being killed by a demon? No example? What about Jatayu? Who was he killed by? Ravana. Yes, Ravana killed Jatayu. Is there any other example in the Bhagavatam? What about Pariksha Maharaj? He was killed by Takshaksha. He was cursed by a Brahmin. Killed by Takshaksha. Takshaka. Any other example? What about if a devotee being protected? Yes. Who was trying to kill him? Ashwatthama. Yeah, so we have examples of both ways. But generally speaking, Jatayu didn't lose. Who performed Jatayu's funeral? What's that? Lord Ramachandra. So, when we pass away, I don't think Lord Ramachandra is going to come for our funeral. And what about Pariksha Maharaj? What happened to him? Was that a curse that he was killed? What's that? Oh, you know, he heard the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. Otherwise, he wouldn't have heard the Bhagavatam. And we wouldn't have heard the Bhagavatam either. And he became completely transcendental and went back to the spiritual world. Although he's probably transcendental anyhow. So text 11. When the great saint Narada Muni had thus spoken, King Indra, being respectful to Narada's words, merely released my mother. Because of my being a devotee of the Lord, all the demigods circumambulating her. And then they returned to their celestial kingdom. Purport. Although King Indra and the other demigods are exalted personalities, they were so obedient to Narada Muni that King Indra immediately accepted Narada Muni's words concerning Prahlad Maharaj. This is called understanding by the parampara system. Indra and the demigods did not know that a great devotee was in the womb of Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu. But they accepted the authoritative statements of Narada Muni and immediately offered their respects to the devotee by circumambulating the woman in whose womb he was living. To understand God and the devotee by the parampara system is the process of knowledge. There is no need to speculate about God and his devotee. One should accept the statements of a bona fide devotee and thus try to understand. Of course, we understand, we know that the demigods had faith in Narada Muni. It's not that Narada Muni simply said something, whatever he said, they accepted without accepting him as an authority. And first of all, they knew who is Narada Muni's father? Brahma. So they knew he had came from a good background. And Narayamuni, obviously, the demigods are quite familiar with him because he's known as the sage amongst the demigods. He goes all over the universe. So they know he's not just an ordinary person, you know, playing a flute or a veena, and he comes along and says, hey, leave her alone. Who are you? I'm Narada Muni. Who's Narada Muni? You know, I have this veena. Good luck. There's so many musicians. But they have faith in Narada Muni because they have experience with him. He's everywhere in the universe, saving all kinds of souls, and he obviously has mystic power, otherwise he couldn't fly from one planet to the next, singing Krishna's glories all the time. So the demigods had faith in whatever he said. Not blind faith, but faith based upon experience. And therefore, whatever he said, they accepted. Prahlad continued, the great saint Narada Muni brought my mother to his ashram and assured her of all protection, saying, my dear child, please remain in my ashram until the arrival of your husband. After accepting the instruction of Devarshi Muni, Narada, my mother stayed in his care without fear from any direction. As long as my father, the king of the Daityas, had not become free from his severe austerities. Now, anything unusual about this? Anyone find anything unusual about this whole thing? Narada Muni taking Kayadu to his ashram. Do you find anything unusual, Gadadhar Pandit?
He's a
brahmachari. Yeah, if you decide, you know, you told one of the monarchies, come to my ashram. That'd be quite a scandal. What are you taking me there for? No, just to recite the Bhagavad Gita. So this is the next verse. My mother, being pregnant, desired the safety of her embryo, desired to give birth after her husband's arrival. Thus she stayed at Narada Muni's ashram, where she rendered service unto Narada Muni with great devotion. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Matra Swashra Duhitra Va Na Vivikshino Bhavet Balavan Indriya Gramo Vivamsa Apikarshiti. One should not remain in a secluded place with a woman, even one's mother, sister, or daughter. Nonetheless, although one is strictly prohibited from staying with a woman in a secluded place, Narada Muni gave shelter to Prahlad Maharaj's young mother, who rendered service to him with great devotion and faith. Does this mean that Narada Muni transgressed the Vedic injunctions? Certainly he did not. In case you had some point to hear. Such injunctions are intended for mundane creatures. Narada Muni is transcendental to mundane categories. Narada Muni is a great saint and is transcendentally situated. Therefore, although he was a young man, he could give shelter to a young woman and accept her service. Haridas Thakur also spoke with a young woman, a prostitute, in the dead of night. But the woman could not deviate his mind. Instead, she became a Vaishnavi, pure devotee, by the benediction of Haridas Thakur. Ordinary persons, however, should not imitate such highly elevated devotees. Ordinary persons must strictly observe the rules and regulations by staying aloof from the association of women. One should not imitate Narada Muni or Haridas Thakur. It is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigena Bhujhaya. Even if a man is very advanced in learning, cannot understand the behavior of a Vaishnava. Anyone can take shelter of a pure Vaishnava without fear. Therefore, in the previous verse, it has been distinctly said, Devashir Andike Sakuto Baya Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, stayed under the protection of Narada Muni without fear from any direction. Similarly, Narada Muni, in his transcendental position, stayed with the young woman without a fear of deviation. Narada Muni, Haridasa Thakura, and similar acharyas, especially empowered to broadcast the glories of the Lord, cannot be brought down to the material platform. Therefore, one is strictly forbidden to think that the acharya is an ordinary human being. Guru-shu naramati. What's that verse? Charyamam vijaniyam nava martita karhichet namartya buddhya suyeti tuta sarva deva mayo guru. One should not think that the acharya is an ordinary person subject to death. The acharya is a representative of all the demigods. So how do we know who's an acharya and who's an ordinary devotee? How do we know if we're not an acharya? Why don't we invite some lady to our ashram and speak the Bhagavatam, thinking, well, maybe I'm an acharya, let's find out. How do we know if we're an acharya? No one knows if they're an acharya. How do you know if you're an acharya? Well, if you're an acharya, you probably know you're an acharya. In other words, first of all, Narada Muni in the heavenly planets is a respected brahmachari. He has a spiritual body. He's not flying around in a material body. He has a spiritual body. So he pretty much knows what kind of body he has. If he had a material body, he'd have material consciousness, but he is in pure spiritual consciousness. So pretty much you know if you're attracted or not by material sense gratification. And if you're attracted by material sense gratification, then you're not on the platform of Narada Muni. And therefore, be cautious before you invite some lady to your ashram. Similarly, Haridasa Thakura, he was in 24 hours a day in ecstasy, and therefore when the prostitute came, he had a choice. He could have drove her out of his ashram. Get out of here, you witch. What are you trying to do to me anyhow? Or he could have tried to save her. Now, in the Vedic culture, sages like Haridasa Thakura are generally, at least in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're glorified. But from the point of view of Ramachandra Khan, who had sent the prostitute, he was not considered to be very advanced in spiritual consciousness. Of course, Ramachandra Khan obviously wasn't very advanced either, but he considered Haridasa Thakura an ordinary person. So the Bhagavatam is not written from the point of view, or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of ordinary people. Because Ramachandra Khan could have, went around and said that he was actually trying to have Haridasa Thakura fall down so he could arrest him. He wasn't going around chanting Haridasa Thakura's glories. But Haridasa Thakura wasn't concerned about that. On the other hand, Krishna is sometimes concerned about his reputation. What's an example when Krishna was concerned about his reputation? What's that? What about the Shyamantaka jewel? What about the Shyamantaka jewel?
It was stolen and he said that he just stole it.
Who said he stole? Are you accusing Krishna of stealing a jewel? Spreading rumors about Krishna.
People were talking.
What's that?
People were saying that he was stole.
Why? Why did they say that he was stole?
I don't
know. Yes, it was who owned the Shyamantaka jewel? Satyajit. Yes, and where did he get it from? He stole it. He stole it from a jeweler's shop. Look at that jewel. Sticky hands. No, he got it from the sun god. And where did the sun god get it from? He got it from Srimati Radharani. And where did Srimati Radharani get it from? And where did Mother Mangal get it from? And where did Balaram get it from? And where did Krishna get it from? What's that? He killed... No. Who did he kill? Who's the name of the follower of Kuvera? Shakatasura? Oh, okay. What was the name of the demon who tried to steal the gopis? Shankachuda. So Krishna, Shankachuda tried to steal the gopis. Krishna cut off his head, got the jewel, gave the jewel to Balaram. Balaram gave it to Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal gave it to Srimati Radharani. Radharani was taken up to the heaven by the sun god along with, I guess, who else came with? I guess Vishaka. And the sun god got the jewel, and he gave it to his devotee, Shatrajit, along with who? Who else did he give besides the jewel?
Satyabhama.
He gave Satyabhama. He gave Radharani. But Radharani in that Leela is Satyabhama. So they got the jewel, and then all the gopis, Radharani and the gopis and everyone else, they have their pastimes in Vrindavan. There's 16,108. And then they have their pastimes in Dwarka, as the queens. So that's why they say the queens are expansions of the gopis, ultimately Radharani. And so here's the jewel, and then the jewel was with Satyajit, and then Satyajit, who asked Satyajit for the jewel? Krishna asked Satyajit. Satyajit came to Dwarka. He was so effulgent that everyone thought he was the sun god. Imagine how bright the jewel was. And then Krishna said, it's not the sun god, it's Satyajit, displaying his opulence. And he asked Satyajit for the jewel. And Satyajit said, no way. I'll give you... Because why? The jewel was giving 84 mounds of gold every day. Plus, wherever the jewel was, there was no famine, there was no pestilence, there was no starvation. I mean, it was quite a good jewel. He said, no, I'm not giving it to anyone. Krishna wanted him to give it to King Ugrasena. He said, no way. Sorry. And he put it in his collection. And he was getting 84 mounds of gold every day. But one day his brother, what's his brother's name? Prashena, took the jewel to display it. Somehow or another, he went to display in the forest. I don't know, maybe to the deer and whatever else, the forest. So he was riding his horse in the forest, showing off his opulence, and who came along? A lion came and killed the horse, killed Prashena, and he took the jewel. I guess he needed some gold too. You never know, in the forest, sometimes you may need some gold. And he took it to his den, and then Jambavan heard about it. And he came, and who's Jambavan? King of the bears, yes. King of the bears. And he came and fought with the lion and killed the lion and took the jewel. And then Prabhupada said that he lived in a cave and he gave it to his son to play with. I mean, that's quite a good toy to play around with. And then what happens? Satyajit didn't see the jewel anymore. Couldn't find his brother. Assumed that Krishna had done something and stole the jewel because he wanted it. And he started to spread the rumor all over Dwarka. And Krishna was saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names get to me after a while. So he wanted to protect his reputation. Imagine if he didn't, everyone's going around, you know, Krishna's bad, Krishna's bad, Krishna's a thief. He stole in his childhood butter and now he's grown up and he's stealing jewels. Watch out, check your pocket when he's around. Make sure he does, you know, you still have whatever you had in your pocket after he leaves. So Krishna didn't like that. He wants to be known as, at least be the mode of goodness. He's supposed to be God. So he didn't want to get the reputation of being a thief. So he went into the forest, and there he found the lion was killed, and the horse was killed, Prasanna was killed, and he saw the footprints of Jambavan. And he concluded that Jambavan had killed the lion, and the lion had killed Prasanna and the horse, and he followed him into the cave. And there he saw the jewel, the Shamantaka jewel, in the hands of his Jambavan's son. He tried to take it back. But the nurse started to scream. Although Prabhupada said, Jambavan didn't think very insignificant. He gave it to his child as a toy. But suddenly when someone came along and tried to get the jewel, he suddenly thought it was, oh, must be worth something. So Jambavan came out quite angry. He tried to steal from my kid. You know, and then there was a big fight for how many days? What's that? 28, all right. Well, here 29. 28. 28 days a night, they fought each other. And then Jambavan realized that this couldn't be an ordinary person because Jambavan had superhuman strength. I mean, who could fight for 28 days and nights in a row? You get a little tired after a little while. And they were banging each other with their fists and Jambavan started to become weak. So he realized this must be my Lord God, Lord Ramachandra. No one else could have such superhuman strength. And so he surrendered. And then Krishna got the jewel back and he got Satyabhama, Jambavati actually. He got Jambavati. One place where Prabhupada said that Jambavati, they asked, you know, did Krishna marry a bear? You go to the palace, you see all these beautiful ladies, you walk in. One palace, you know. No, Prabhupada said that Jambavan couldn't be a bearer. He's the king of the bearers. That doesn't mean he's a bearer, though. Otherwise, he didn't have a daughter who was a bearer. So Jambavati, she became Krishna's wife also, she was given, and Satyajit eventually gave Satyabhama to Krishna. Anyhow, we'll stop there. Any questions? So the idea is that even Krishna doesn't want his reputation spoiled. So this is necessary. Haridasa Thakur. And here we find Narada Muni. They were transcendental and they did things which ordinary people can't do. But even Krishna, who's the most transcendental, but sometimes he doesn't want to be defamed because he's taking the role of an ordinary king in one sense, in Dwarka. He's not taking the role of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore he had to protect his reputation. Like who else? What other form of God had to protect his reputation? What did he have to do? Yes. So even God seems to be more concerned about his reputation than Narada Muni and Prahlad. and Haridas Thakur. So God really has to protect his reputation. Although he does things which are quite extraordinary. Like dancing with other people's wives in the dead of night, stealing butter, etc., etc. Any questions, comments? All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.